Brother Josiah's going to come preach here, and I think Dawn and Master are going to come up and sing.
Clouds are disappearing, skies are turning blue. Only just a while ago, I told him I was through. The Lord did not rebuke me, but with arms of strong embrace, He picked me up and carried me into a field of grace. Where all is quiet, leaning on His breast, He pulled me from the stormy sea to a place where I could rest. Told me to pass through deserts, had to face strong winds. I don't mind it all that much, I know He'll come again. Lead me to still waters, there He'll let me stay, till my soul has been restored in this healing field of grace. Where all is quiet, leaning on His breast, He pulled me from the stormy sea to a place where I could rest. Told me
Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Thank you, ladies, for that song, and Nathaniel for playing the cello. It was good. I'm going to look at two verses here. I'm going to look at verse number 14 and verse number 15. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and preach your word. But God, I'm asking you again, as I've asked you before, please fill me. I don't want to stand up here and just say these words and go through the motions. God, I need your Holy Spirit's power. I need the unction for this message, please. Fill me, fill the listeners, and help us to be more effective for you because of the truth of this message, and I ask these things in your name. Amen. Paul is talking to the church here at Galatia, and he's trying to give them a truth, trying to impart to them a truth. Really, he's trying to combat a lie that's been spread in the church of Galatia. And throughout these last couple chapters leading up to chapter number 5, and going into chapter number 5, he's still dealing with the same problem. So Paul is talking to this church of Galatia, and he's trying to address a key issue here. There's been a lie that's crept into the church of Judaism, basically legalism. And somebody has started to tell the Christians at Galatia that it's not grace that saves you, but rather your ability to obey the law, which is legalism, which is not what God intended at all. God finished up the work on the cross, and he gave this message to Paul because there's so much destruction happening to the church. Jews aren't really known for witnessing. Their religion doesn't demand to spread the news. It just demands that they obey the law. Christians, on the other hand, we have a gift given to us, and God's command is that we spread it. But they are instead entangled with legalism. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." This is what Paul's talking about. He's saying he's got two different things, and I've heard a lot of people say and argue between two points of argument. And their argument is, we're not legalists, and no, we're not. But their argument is that because we're not legalists, and because we don't believe that you have to do the law to get saved, they believe that you have to just be of grace and accept the grace, and that's it. And there's nothing demanded of you afterwards. And that's not true either. Sure, grace is a free gift. But they're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a one and done, believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved message. But afterwards it becomes a totally different matter. And here there are people who are advocating for the opposite of what we have today. Back in Paul's day, they were arguing for the law. And you have to obey the law, as Moses wrote it, in order to be saved. And you have to obey the law, as Moses wrote it. And others today are saying it's all grace, and there's nothing you can do to earn it, so therefore there's nothing you have to do to keep it. All of that is true. And Satan often sends us his counterfeits that are so close to the real thing that if without your King James Bible and the Holy Spirit, you can't tell them apart. Grace is not the only thing that you have to rely on after you get saved. It is the only thing that you have to rely on to get saved, but not after. Everybody wants to argue. It's, you know, I'm under grace, we're under grace, I can do whatever I want to, I'm under grace. And Jude said that they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, or doing whatever they wanted to do to fulfill whatever they wanted to fulfill. And Paul is dealing with the opposite, but I kind of wanted to address, I was reading in Galatians chapter 5 and I saw some things highlighted. Some things not about salvation. This message is not about salvation. For you to be saved, you have to rely on the full grace of God, the full merit, unmerited favor of God. But for you to be saved and enjoy your Christian life, there is one key element that cannot be missing. There's one key part of your Christian life that has to be there. Whether you're a man or a woman, young or old, whether you have ability or lack ability, whether you're a brand new Christian or you've been in it for a while, there is one thing that's going to keep you doing this and doing it the right way. Let's look at the three different things that are in the passage of Galatians chapter 5 and see what these things are. The first thing we see here is the law. Of course, I've read to you the passage. Go down to verse number 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord." So, through the Lord, "that ye will be none otherwise minded." But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, that's the law, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross, that's grace, ceased. Paul's saying, look, you guys are getting so confused, and the person that's crept in has told you that I preach the law for salvation. I've never once preached the law for salvation. But he goes into this and he says, hey, look, there's a law here, and you do have to obey a portion of it. I mean, but it's not to get you saved. And people have been entering into the church and telling you that it's to get saved. I've never preached the salvation of the law. Otherwise, I wouldn't be persecuted. If all he was doing was going from church to church and town to town saying, obey the law, the Jews would not be persecuting him. But that's not what he's preaching. He's preaching grace for salvation. And so it's crept in here unawares. This lie of circumcision, it says, look back in verse number 2. It says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. There is no freeing act of the law at all. The law is incapable of freeing you. You can fulfill every single law Moses ever wrote. You can fulfill every single word that Jesus ever said to the Jews in Matthew, all the Beatitudes. You can do all of them and still die and go to hell. It is not the law that saves you. The law is incapable of freeing you. It has no salvation grace added to it. It is pure justice. As God is pure justice. It is of God. But it is not of God for the saving. The law, not only can it not save you, but the law must be completely obeyed. It must be completely obeyed, otherwise you offend the law. Keep looking, keep reading. It says in verse number 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't pick and say, and I'm using the term in the Bible, you can't say, I'm circumcised, but it's also by grace. I obey the feast laws, but I'm also saved by grace. You can't have it both ways. And Paul's saying you're either saved by your works or you're saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about you. And the law makes it about whether or not you're good enough. Which, unfortunately, the only way to be good enough is to do all of it. The only way you can be saved by the law, if you are in fact good enough, is to not fail ever one time. So that's the first article. The first article that we see here is the law. The second we see is the grace. Look at verse number 13. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. That's grace. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Freedom is not freedom on its own merits. If you're a parent or if you have ever been in charge of kids, you know that there's rules to it. And you know that there's rules to fun, just like there is rules for about any other thing that they can get themselves into. And if you say, hey, you ought to go have fun and you have freedom to play as much as you want to, where I want you to play. That's a rule. And you say, hey, go outside and play in the yard, but only play in the yard, don't play in the street. Because if you play in the street, one, you've disobeyed, and two, it becomes dangerous. And your freedom that was once so fun and freeing has now become a liability to you. And that freedom can get you hurt and can get you possibly killed depending on, you know, what happens out there. But the freedom is not free just because it's freedom. The freedom has to be used properly. If you refuse to play the rules of the game, you've broken the rules. If you don't play Monopoly the right way, then you're not really playing Monopoly. And the same is true here. If you're not using the rules of grace, the law of liberty, then you're not being a Christian. You don't get to say, I'm under grace and therefore I'm free to do whatever I want to do, and still get to say, I'm a Christian. It's not that simple. If you are truly under grace, then that constrains you to do something and to do it the right way. Grace is not the only answer for your continuation in the Christian life. It is the door. It is not the room. Grace allows you entrance into the kingdom of God, but it does not allow you just absolute freedom to do whatever you want to do and however you want to do it. It gives you the abilities to. Everything that you have, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, yes. But how you be successful as a Christian comes at a different avenue, comes from a different motivation. Freedom does not motivate you properly. Keeping your freedoms motivates you properly, but freedom does not motivate you. Getting freedom motivates you, and keeping freedom motivates you. Your ability to have the freedom, you can't just say, I'm fighting you. Why am I fighting you? Freedom. No, it's, I want to be free, or I want to keep these freedoms. And Paul here is talking to the church, and he says, okay, the law won't save you, and the law won't keep you saved, and the law also won't be the answer to how you live your Christian life. But grace won't either. Grace will save you. Grace will keep you saved. But grace is not the answer for the Christian life. What is the answer? What is that answer? Look down here at verse number six. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything. If you claim to be saved, if you claim to be a Jesus Christian, then the law is not going to avail you anything, nor uncircumcision, nor not doing the law. But faith which worketh by love. The key to the Christian life is not whether or not you're saved by grace or works. The key is to be saved. But the key is not to continue in just because you're saved of grace. What motivates you in your Christian life is not grace, and it is not the oppressor of the law. But what motivates you to do it properly is love. If you're playing a game with me that you've never played before, what motivates you to learn the rules of the game? You love me enough to sit through the boring, tedious parts of me playing out the game a little bit so you can understand it. But it's love that motivates you to sit there. One, because you might just want to play the game. Or two, you might love me, or both. But it's not going to happen just because you can play the game. And it's not going to happen because somebody is forcing you to play the game. But why you learn the law to play the game properly is because you love the one that you're playing it with. And Jesus said, if you're going to love the game, if you're going to love me, if you're going to treat me properly, and you're going to obey the rules properly of how to treat me, then you'll sit through the learning process of learning the game. Right here, right now, in this church age of grace, we are learning the game. We have the ability to sit through the rules. And yeah, it's a struggle, and yeah, it's hard, but why would we do any of that? And it's to learn the rules. And why would we sit through and learn the rules? It's because if you're doing it right, because you love God. And you say, I don't want to hurt you again. And I don't want to do that again. So instead of me doing whatever I want to do, I will do it because of love. Because you first love me. And you love me enough to save me, but I'm not going to sit here like a bump on a log and not do anything for you. Instead, I'm going to serve out of love. And you take that grace, and that grace allows you to even be profitable, otherwise you're dead in sins. And you take that grace and you assert yourself into the work. It allows you to. And you take the law, the hard to do, never fully kept other than by Jesus' law, and you try to make it work. But your only reason you would even try to make it work is because you really love God. Those who try to do this Christianity thing because they want others to love them, typically that doesn't work out. They'll typically compromise, and like I said, if you cease to play by the rules, you will eventually not be playing the game anymore. Whatever it is that they're calling out there in Eastern religion and the whole, compromising Christianity, it's not Christianity at all. Everybody says, judge not. That's not the verse in context. The verse is, judge not that ye be not judged. For whatever measure you judge, it'll be judged you. Whatever kind of effect that you have towards the law, whatever effect of justice that you show to other people, you can expect that to return to you. Later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, why are you going to some lost man to judge you when God gave you the Holy Spirit and the ability to judge for yourself? And you ought not be running to the law to judge. But because these people weren't using the Holy Spirit, Paul said, you're going to waste away all your ability to judge properly. And later on, he says, do you not know that you're going to be judging the world? And when these Christians in Corinthians get to the point of the millennium, they're going to sit down, you know, if they're appointed over a city. And because they didn't learn how to play the game right, now they're going to be forced to learn the rules and play the game at the same time. And that's hard. But they could have learned the rules. And Paul's saying the reason why you learn the rules is love. Love does not save you. You can love God all day long and still be lost and going to hell. But once you get saved, the love is what keeps you doing the right thing. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. We'll look at verse number 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Why would I do any of this law? Why would I continue to try to please God? And it's love. It's the whole reason God even gave us the book. If God didn't love us, one, he wouldn't have saved us. But two, a pretty cruel thing is to put you on a track and not give you the instructions. And you just got to figure it out. But God loved us so much that he not only saved us and not only put us in the ability to serve him, but he gave us the instruction book manual and said, not figure it out, but I'm going to teach you through the power of the Holy Spirit how to play. And I'm not saying it's a game all entirely, although there are rules involved. And Paul said, it's not law, no. And it's not grace, no. But it's your faith, and without your faith, it's impossible to please God. And so therefore, if it's not your faith because of whatever, it therefore has to be your faith which worketh by love. That's the whole point of Galatians chapter 5. Look on with me here. Go up to our text verse, number 13. Sorry, verse number 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. You want to fulfill the law. You want to do the law that God wants you to do. Here's how you do it. It's one word. It's not a whole book. This is not how you fulfill the law. This is the law. How do I fulfill the law? It's one word. One word in this book. And this book will teach you how to do it properly. One word, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, that's arguably the opposite of love, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There's a contrary teaching in this. And it's if you don't play the game properly, or if you play the game properly, you have one of two outcomes. Whether you decide to not play the game properly or if you decide to play by the rules, one of two things will happen. If you decide not to, you'll have the works of the flesh manifest in your life. But if you decide to do it properly, you will reap the fruits of the Spirit. Read on with me. Let's look at these here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you do it. You just walk in the Spirit. And I know, it's not hard to say it. It's hard to do it, but still, I mean, you have the ability to. The Holy Spirit is sealed within you until the day of promise. The promise is the day that Jesus comes back to get us all. You have the answer in you. You got the whole kit and caboodle when you got saved. It's like my dad said, that whole predestined Calvinist verse that they always say. It's not predestined on its merits. You're not predestined, Brother Brett, because you got saved, you were predestined to get saved. But rather, God predestined in a box of things that you will receive once you get saved. And he's packaged that box with grace, mercy, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, hey, do you want this box? And so people misread that verse and then they don't even apply themselves because they're already saved. But God gave you the whole toolkit. He said, here, I'm not only going to get you saved, I'm going to give you everything you need for the trip. I'm going to give you the food. I'm going to give you any kind of bandages that you would need. I'm going to give you any kind of tools to work on your vehicle while you're going. I'm going to give you the whole kit and caboodle. And so he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you're going to be led under the Spirit, if you walk under the Spirit all the time, and you never have one moment that constitute error from this law, you don't need your Bible. What? Why would you need your Bible if you're filled with the Holy Spirit 100% of the time? The answer is you don't. Because the Spirit is the law. The Spirit of the law is love. And so if you simply be filled with the Holy Spirit, I say simply, it's not, like I said, it's hard. But that's the answer, is to be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to keep struggling. Why would I be filled with the Spirit? Why would I surrender to the Spirit? Because I love Jesus Christ. And I don't want to keep hurting Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why would I seek to please anybody that I don't love? I can seek to help somebody I don't love, and I can seek to care for somebody I don't love, but I don't truly seek to please them if I don't love them. And without faith, it's impossible to please, but faith worketh by love. Everything that you do, according to this book, is by love. Keep reading. We're going to look at these manifestations of the flesh. So now the works of the flesh are manifest, or come to life, or within you. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to walk in the flesh, and you want to do the works of the flesh, because it's work to keep yourself from, you know, trying to not fall when all you want to do is surrender to your flesh. It's a hard labor to work in the flesh. It not only is hard to not do it with the Spirit, but it's also hard to live with the repercussions of not walking in the Spirit. And he says, if you really don't want to do this, then you're not going to reap the benefits of the kingdom of God. What are the benefits? The benefits are you're sealed, and you can use that sealedness and that Holy Spirit in you to reap an abundant life in the Christian life. But if you don't, if you all you want to do is just please yourself and do what you want to do and be who you want to be, then you're not going to get that same deliverance, that same inheritance of the kingdom of God. Instead, you're going to reap the works of the flesh. Keep reading. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what's that first word? Love. Love is a compounding, it's something that reaps to itself love. You give love to God. God in return gives you the ability to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you love to give back to God, so you get more Holy Spirit, so you get more love to give back to God. To get more Holy Spirit, to get love, so you can give it back to God. That's how you do it. That's how you become stronger as a Christian. The love that motivates you is the first gift of the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. All of these things that the Holy Spirit wants you to do, all of these things that the Holy Spirit wants to give you if you'll simply be, let Him be in control of you, is just to do it more. It's not, like I said this morning, it's not some fountain that's going to dry up later. You can do it as much as you want to. But the question is, do you want to? Why do you sin? Why do you keep falling from where you were and backsliding and doing what you would not do, it's because you're filled with the flesh. Same reason for me. I'm not better than you. I keep failing God because I'm in the flesh. How do I not be in the flesh? One, I love God enough to not do it. And I take that step of faith because that is a work of faith, saying I'm not gonna do what I wanna do. Instead, I'm gonna trust in God, saying that what He said will actually work out for my benefit. And then because I'm taking that work in faith, God's going to lead me in the Holy Spirit, and wow, everything that the world is looking for is offered in the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. All of these things the Holy Spirit gives you for free just for listening to Him. But this world thinks that if they run around and they do it their way and they search for peace. The Bible says, woe unto you when a man cometh to you saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You're not going to find it in some shaman or in some yoga, what do you call them, yogis or whatever. You're not going to find it there. How are you going to find it, Christian? In doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. It's not hard to figure out. It's hard to do, but it's not hard to figure out. And the Holy Spirit will help you. People say, oh, white dog and black dog, and they fight in me, you know, like the old missionary story. Yes, and yes, you can't feed one more than the other. But why would you want to? Why would you want to fill your life with a whole bunch of work? Ever heard the statement, you're making it harder on yourself than it has to be? Christian, you're making it harder on yourself than it has to be. When you get to the point of you step over Jordan onto the golden shore, you could, like I said this morning, look back and say, I gave it all to Him. Or you could look back and say, I didn't give enough. And the answer is not because you're saved and you can, but the answer is because you love Jesus enough to do it. It's not going to happen by accident. When it comes to pleasing yourself over pleasing God, you're going to have to look at yourself and say, no, because if I do that, I'm going to hurt God. No, because if I do that, I don't get to reap the benefits of walking in the Spirit. And no, doing that would cost me joy and cost me love and cost me kindness to others. And I don't want to do that. But instead, we get so filled with ourselves. We get so caught up in what we want to do that everything that God wants us to do becomes lost. And all we're left to do is just what our flesh naturally wants to do. All the idolatry, all of the fornication, all of the murders, envyings, wrath, strife. Why do you fight people? Because you're not filled with the Spirit. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are these. Hate, anger, annoyance. It didn't say that. Matter of fact, not a single one of those fruits of the Spirit are negative. You'd want to have that, don't you? Then why is it when every single time it comes to make a decision to live in the Spirit, you choose the opposite? Why is it every single time God gives you a way out, you choose to not take it? God said He's faithful and He'll make a way to escape. And all you have to do is take it. But we don't want to take it. All we want to do is what we want to do. And I'm guilty of it too. Again, I'm not better than you in this. I'm just saying, if you really want to make it, if you really want to be the person God wants you to be, it's not going to happen by accident. But how is it going to happen? It's going to happen because you really love God. And you have to make the decision for yourself. I can't make that decision for you. It's not going to take place because somebody got up here and hollered at you for an hour. It's not gonna take place because I got up here and ranted and raved and preached to you for a couple of weeks while I'm here, or because even my dad does it whenever I'm not here, because I know he does it. The question is not, do you know what to do? But do you love God enough to do it? And if the love compounds itself to help you do it, it's only a matter of you doing it the first time. Because after you do it the first time, it'll give you grace and faith and love to do it again. And to do it again. And to do it again. God calls this book the Law of Liberty. The Law of How to Live in Liberty. Or let's put it in modern day terminology. The Law to Live in This Church Age of Grace. But why would I? Through love. It's the only reason why. And you're going to take this Law of Liberty tomorrow and hopefully you'll read it. But hopefully you won't just read it, hopefully you'll do it. Because you don't want to reap the works of the flesh, which are so much easier to reap. All you have to do to reap the works of the flesh is simply do nothing. Your flesh will do the rest, trust me. But it's work. But that work is not in vain. That work to do the law will reap itself in fruits of the Spirit later. And I say later, most of the time it's instantaneous. All of a sudden you start doing the law and you're like, oh, wow. It's not as hard as it looked to be nice to my friends. It's not as hard as it looked. Why is it hard? Because you don't want to do it. It's hard because I don't want to do it. So don't get all caught up in this conversation of, oh, we live in a church age of grace, or it's not the law, it's grace. Yes, it's not the law, it's grace for salvation. And no, I'm not preaching legalism. But the Bible itself calls it the law of grace, or the law of liberty. So why are you so scared to do what God says? It's because you've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Because you really didn't love Him to begin with. That's the sermon. That's all I've got for you. I wish I had more. I wish I had, you know, a whole lot of complicated theories on how to be the best Christian that you could be. But it's that simple. Love. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the message from your word. God, thank you for your people being here. I ask that you please be with us tonight. Be with us throughout the week as we serve you. I ask that you please be with me as we come back on Wednesday night. In your name we pray. Amen. You may stand. The altar's open if you need it.